Mother, man.
Me and Applejack are up here looking down on all of you, listening to some murder metal mayhem.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem!
All right, old Brandon Hall speaking from the afterlife there, him and Applejack.
Goddamn, motherfucker.
It's a Sunday, shit. And we're throwing down a special Bronus episode of Murder Metal Mayhem. That one just kind of hit me, and I'm glad I remembered it before we started, because I'd have been really mad if it would have happened afterward. But I'm in Horns High.
Bronus.
Right. And Chris, you're at McCormick Studios remote, and we're doing some tests here today to see if we can figure out some issues we're having doing this remote stuff. And Joey's working, so this is really just a extra episode we'll do as a Patreon for now and see what happens with it down the road. So
I'll try and get her done.
That's right. That's right. All right. So, Chris, are you wearing a My Little Pony t-shirt over there in the studio?
Hold on a second, Pete. I need to step off camera for just a second. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, Chris is. Oh no, he's zipping off his hoodie or his jacket. Oh my God, he's got a My Little Pony like a onesie on or something. Holy shit! with the titties cut out. So, oh man,
dude, no, like we were doing this, I was like, damn, I wonder if one of the kids got a My Little Pony shirt. Oh, so I called my daughter. I was like, hey, dude, what do you guys got a My Little Pony shirt? She's like, no. And then she's like, wait, dad, go upstairs to the upstairs bathroom. There's My Little Pony onesies. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to fit in this.
That's hilarious.
Just starts cutting it. I got my nippies out and everything. Just like,
wow. You got to get a picture of
just
yourself.
Just straight up My Little Pony it up.
Get a picture of that.
Oh, dude, we got pictures. We already took pictures. Yeah, we got pictures. We're going to send
awesome. It, that's a good one. I'm jealous. I'm wearing a Blood Red Throne shirt, but I'm wishing I had some My Little Ponies gear over here. Very good. And if you're listening, like, what the fuck are they talking about with My Little Pony? Believe me, you're going to know real quick, because we're going
to find out real fast.
Yeah, we're doing this episode on Brandon Hole. And if you may be familiar with the name, you may know of him as the mass shooter. But he was really into My Little Ponies, what people would call a brony. And we're going to talk about all that. His April 2021 mass shooting at a FedEx ground facility in Indianapolis left 9 dead, a horrible act. And the, you know, stuff about the My Little Ponies obsession just makes this weird. Just wacky and totally murder metal mayhem. And you know, it's a bonus episode. So if you're listening to this for some reason and you're new to the podcast, that means that this is special. We're not doing our usual murder, metal, and mayhem segments. This is just one story, and this tonight is on the Brandon Hole.
Right, one short.
Yeah, shorter
short
episode.
There's not a lot on the dude.
Yeah, no killer cage match, no karaoke, just the story on this dude. But it's still a fun story, and it's awful because it's a mass shooting. But the funny part, of course, the My Little Pony stuff. So big thanks to everyone who listens to us. We appreciate you guys spreading that word. We got our website, murdermetalmayhem.com, where you could pick up some merch and find out more about the podcast and all that. So check that out. All right. Well, we're going to get into the topic tonight, and it is on Brandon Hole. He's born in 2003. So he was 19 at the time of this incident. And one thing I'd like to mention before we start, you know we joke around a lot here, but seriously, if you're having mental health issues, thoughts of suicide, for God's sakes, go get some help.
There are people to talk to. There's numbers you can call. There's resources out there. If you're feeling like you're going to fucking, like the world is coming down on you, talk to somebody, man,
right.
For real. Talking helps.
Cause I'm sure everybody that's here
podcast helps us.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody hearing this has known somebody that's fallen prey to that. I know I have. It's a terrible thing. So yeah. I just wanted to say that. Now, Chris, were you familiar with this fool before we talked about this?
No, I had absolutely no idea, which is fucking crazy because it was so recent.
And close to us.
Yeah.
And 3 hours away.
Yeah. I had no idea about this until you mentioned like talking about dude with My Little Pony. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? And then when I checked it out, I was like, what the fuck? It's so recent and so close to us. I don't know how I never heard of it.
Yeah,
it's
me too. Me too. Because I didn't know anything about this. Just stumbled on it, you know, watching stuff on YouTube. And, you know, these mass shootings, we don't typically, I mean, we've done some, of course, but it's right. not a thing we do like, you know, a bunch of them. So I found this one interesting, of course, with the My Little Pony angle to it.
And the dude just seriously had mental health issues.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when this dude was only 19, you know, this happened. So that is incredibly young. But I mean, what was the strange shit, Chris, with his upbringing and kind of some things he was going through as a kid?
Well, like when he was a kid, I can't remember how old it was. He was like 4 or something, really fucking young. But his dad had hung himself, which is kind of, his dad had killed himself
already
when he was super fucking young. And I don't know if that developed his mental state of violence or whatever, depression, lots of depression. I can imagine the depression that you get after being that young. Like basically his mom and dad had gotten into an argument. And his dad was basically like, I'll just go kill my, and his mom was straight up like, fine, do it.
Right.
And he did. But then as he's getting older, he's like in his still like single digit ages, like 8, right. 9, whatever, but insisted on wearing 3 pairs of shorts.
That's weird.
Which is fucking weird.
My dad used to work with a guy when he worked at the prison that wore 2 of everything all the time. Yes.
That's fucking
2 belts, strange. 2 shirts, 2. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, the dude was whacked.
That OCD thing like that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird, man. Like, but
yeah.
He had this obsessive compulsive disorder that he couldn't break away from. So, and it just built as he got older. So,
yeah, he had all kinds of little weird things he did like that. And if he was doing them and if anything interrupted him, he had to start all the way at the beginning again. And he also liked to rock back and forth when he watched TV, which, you know, just very, very odd things. But, you know, people have, you know, things that happened to him as a kid that, you know, don't necessarily mean they're going to go out and do this, you know. So he obviously, you know, starts here, but we're going to talk about how this kind of escalates because his mom is trying to get him some help from what I read and watched. But things were mounting and the psychological issues are getting worse because now Brandon's 11. His mom's remarried. His stepfather and him got into it over a water gun fight. Said he the kid totally overreacted to whatever happened.
Yeah, he got sprayed with water and just snapped the fuck out for whatever reason. Like, kids getting in water gun fights, water fights together.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's natural.
But all this the time.
Dude just fucking freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, he really did. He snapped out and somehow or another got into it with his mom. He destroyed their bathroom, and I don't mean that destroyed it like your brother destroys the bathroom. I mean, like,
not like that.
went in there and smashed stuff, okay? Then he attacked his mom, bites her, and then went after her with knives from the kitchen. So, Jesus Christ. I mean, wow.
Could you imagine, like, this motherfucker went into the kitchen, grabbed 2 fucking knives. Like, I'm going to say they were like steak knives,
right?
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And just starts going at his mom with 2 knives. Could you imagine your 11-year-old child just coming at you with 2 knives and not even giving a shit what happens with them? Like,
no,
I'm going to stab you. Like, holy fuck. She had to be terrified, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily, though, the cops got there just in time to save her from probably getting killed. But things are getting worse. So how does this fucking escalate, dude?
He's pretty much like 6th grade. He's introverted. So he's basically by himself, doesn't have a lot of friends or whatever.
Right.
And then his computer computer log or whatever, he's researching mass shootings and shit like Columbine and shit like that.
Right.
And so
that's not good.
No, obviously we do our research on shit like this, but not in the way he was doing it. He was doing it to see what they did and how they did it.
Right.
For different reasons than we do. But he had a psychologist, he was going to therapy, whatever, but nothing ever really got done. And he just kept going about his actions with no help.
I think we see that a lot with this story, Chris, is the fucking just failings of the mental health system. You hear this a lot.
Right.
And I don't want to throw them under the bus. Maybe they're just overwhelmed, but something's got to give, because this just seems like this was just one epic fucking failure.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like how bad this, like how much help this dude actually needed. And never got any of it.
Yeah, and I mean, his mom was legitimately trying to get him help, but
right, it isn't like his mom was
cracks.
Yeah, it ain't like his mom was like lacking on trying to get him help. It just like the system wasn't helping. Honestly, I feel like that.
No, I agree. So there was, of course, as I mentioned, this thing for My Little Pony, and for anyone that doesn't know, that's a children's animated like cartoon. I know Alex, when she was little, she was really into it. My daughter would have been a little bit old for that, I think, because I don't remember her being into it, but I remember my granddaughter was. This kid's a teenager. He's got posters all over his fucking walls.
Dude, his bedroom is like everything. Like his bed sheets, walls covered with My Little Pony, everything.
Yeah, he had that big, like, body pillow or whatever of the one character
Applejack.
And so this is what we would call a brony, which is an adult male who's into My Little Pony. So he was not alone in this. I mean, there are people that are, I mean, there's enough people that are into that there's a name for it, right?
That's pretty fucked up. like you ever think of like a like The Rock from WWE. Hey, you jabroni.
Right. I wonder if the bronies are going to come looking for you after that parading around with drinking beer in a My Little Pony's onesie. Wow.
Dude, you have no idea what is going on with this thing right now.
Oh,
dude.
I can't even. It's got to be riding up in all sorts of places.
Oh, no. Courtney cut the ass. So my ass cheeks are hanging out and everything, dude.
Oh, God.
I'm squishing my balls, cut the crotch out. So my balls are hanging out.
We ought to do
you
that.
You don't want to see all of it.
We ought to do that as a contest. You get Chris's My Little Pony onesie. You could sign it for him, you know.
That'd be fucking great.
That's hilarious. So
yeah, we put work in on this.
Yeah, that's great. So you know, I don't have a problem with a guy being into My Little Ponies. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I think it's kind of funny just because it's odd, but whatever. But
as obsessive as he was with it, though, it was fucking weird.
Definitely. And certainly taking it to the violent stage is completely out of fucking control here, because that's not good. But being into that, as odd as it is, whatever, he's not hurting me, I don't care. But he turns this into a violent act, becomes a mass shooter. As you said, he's all into fucking mass shooting episodes, Columbine, I'm sure. I mean, we did that episode, Chris, episode 150. It's our second most listened to episode. So people, all these years later, still into this Columbine story. And I think kid had to be also a student.
Columbine
of that.
Was like the first huge mass shooting that people like recognize, like, oh fuck,
right,
this is a goddamn thing. Columbine was a
You had the 24-hour news going on for the first time in a school shooting episode, so yeah, it was
pretty insane,
iconic for sure. And so, you know, we covered that. So if you're interested in Columbine or want to learn more, go check out episode 150. Like I said, second most listened to episode we've done so far. Now, Chris, for some fucking reason, though, his mom allows him to buy a shotgun in 2020. What?
Well, at this point,
I mean, was he an adult by then?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was 18. He was at least 18 fucking. So he's allowed to do that in Indiana. Not all states you can do that at 18. You got to be 21, whatever. But
right.
But his mom, he got a shotgun or got a rifle, but he didn't get any ammo and shit. And his mom wanted to see if the cops could fucking just take the gun away from him and shit.
Right.
Because he was like threatening suicide and everything. And they did take the gun over red flag. Indiana has red flag laws.
Right.
To where like if the state feels that your mental status is not right, they're like, no, you are not allowed to own this because you're going to do something bad, which in this case is.
It's a very good thing.
Yeah. In this case, it happened, but it didn't work out. But he didn't buy any ammo with it, which means nothing because you can get ammo wherever. You don't have to get the ammo the same time you get the fucking gun.
Right.
But he's also pissed off. Not pissed off. He was concerned about people looking at his computer history, which.
Yeah.
As we had already said, fucking was a list of fucking looking up mass shootings, and he had like white supremacist shit on there, fucking, which is weird because like that's really the only white supremacist thing that he really had going was his computer history. He never,
yeah,
like he never really showed like signs of being a Nazi or a white supremacist like that, but they fucking kept his gun, and in one of the interviews when the detective was talking to him on the phone, the detective talked to him and was like, well, what should we do with the gun? He's like, just destroy it. That's all that, like.
Yeah.
And somehow he ended up with a gun again.
Like, yeah. But yeah, that definitely makes a weird part of this story because I have some questions about that whole issue of how did he get a gun again. So his mom was shocked that they let him out of the mental hospital within a couple hours. As you said, though, they kept the gun. Not sure, you know, what to say about them letting him out that soon, but I know there's laws and there's, you know, certain criteria that they have to let him go. And, you know, as much as it frustrates you hearing a story like this, you know, I'm sure there's probably a dozen more stories of how it's worked in the reverse and kept somebody from being locked up that shouldn't have been. So, I mean, it's a give and take, right? We don't want people just swept right. up and thrown in a mental hospital for nothing. But, you know, this one makes you wonder, how does that all work? Probably should ask my daughter because she works in that field. I didn't think of it. Now, the FBI is involved, and an agent from the FBI meets with him. He tells the agent his dream is to join the FBI.
Yeah, and they were like, well, that's not an option.
Yeah, that's not going to happen with your background yeah. here already, right? So the agent told his mother that he was at a big risk to become a mass shooter. And also due to his narcissism, the obsession, as we've been mentioning with the mass shootings, the depression, and I'm sure the My Little Pony posters on the wall maybe added to the what the fuck factor with this guy.
Maybe they should have put badges on the My Little Ponies. Maybe it would have been different.
That's right. Or the cutie marks. Yeah, the cutie
the
mark.
Cutie marks.
Yeah, I remember that. I was getting a lot of shit for bringing that up. Jenny's like, how the fuck did you know that? I'm like, okay, Alex was really into that, and I know what those right. are. But right, it was right. just funny because here I am talking
about. I do have grandchildren.
Yeah, 56-year-old man talking about cutie marks. So the agent's like, dude, you're not going to be an FBI agent. This apparently really devastates him. And he tells his therapist that he didn't care about anyone else and didn't care for the lives of others. So this is leading him, Chris, down a bad fucking path here.
No, he gets super depressed and fucking he doesn't. I think it's weird how people take something like, say, My Little Pony and makes that their life, something that's totally
yeah.
fictional, totally false.
Right.
And you can't do, I mean, I get people and they have mental issues or whatever, but something like My Little Pony or anything in general like that,
right.
like how do you make that your reality when you yeah. know it's never going to happen?
I know.
Like It's fucked up.
Yeah, it is fucked up to think that somebody would take a cartoon and somehow warp that into a reality. I just, you know, obviously had some mental health issues here. It's just hard for us to even wrap our arms around it. But he's definitely, you know, exhibiting signs of a psychopath. And we know that all psychopaths are narcissists. So kind of fits.
Not all narcissists are psychopaths.
That's right. And totally fits with this. I've actually bought two books. I got one. I think the other one comes tomorrow on psychopathy. So I can even learn more about this subject because we talk about it like just about every week. You know, it comes up. So I want to be a little more versed in it. I've been watching a lot of, as I've been mentioning, the body language stuff on YouTube, but there's one of the guys I watch that he's really into psychopathy and talks about it a lot. And so I think it would be a fascinating subject to learn more about. But in his last therapy session, right before the shooting, he told the therapist that he was in danger, he was a danger to society and that society should fear him. So
and that's a fucking huge,
yeah,
huge red flag.
Like, huge red flag.
About, like, come on, man. Like, I maybe know. You should help.
Take this guy seriously. It's crazy, though, all these warning signs, as we've been saying, these red flags. You know, when you take all this stuff wrapped up into one, this is just an obvious, you know, fortune of fucking bad things to fucking come here. So it's April 15th, tax day. So maybe that pissed him off too. I don't know.
He got audited and shit. He's yeah. Like, goddamn, I'm only 19. I got to pay you what?
They're gonna tax his My Little Pony collection.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. So it's April 15th, 2021. He has dinner at home with his mom, takes a bath to relax, and went to bed. And that's, you know, what his mom knows. Then he gets up and decides to go to his old place of employment, the FedEx ground facility there in Indianapolis. There's about 100 people that work on the shift. He shows up late at night. I'm not sure exactly the time, but it was later at night.
Yeah, the video surveillance, like you can see this video surveillance.
Yeah.
On YouTube a lot. It's nighttime and it's pretty crazy. He just rolls up like, whatever, I'm going to do what yeah. I'm going to do.
Yeah, so he parks his car, as Chris says, you know, you could see it on the video. He gets out, apparently goes in and talks to security, but they've got security there. They got metal detectors there, but he goes in without his weapons to go talk to security. Then he comes back out to the car where he then gets his rifle, his AR-15, and he starts fucking shooting people out in the parking lot. And like we said, I mean, you can hear this shit on the 911 calls. You can see some of it, or at least hear it on the video. I don't know if there's video of him actually shooting, but it's fucked up.
I don't know if I saw actual video of the actual shootings, but like,
yeah,
you see like him pulling in the parking lot and all that. But the 911 calls, though, man.
Yeah, I know, like, you're really into the 911 calls, Chris. You were talking about a podcast about those.
Yeah, I listen to some of these 911 calls, and it is absolutely terrifying to fucking.
I couldn't even imagine it.
Listen to that. Like, there's one of them. This woman is like hiding. She's on 911. She's like, I just want to go home, like scared.
Right.
Which she has every right to be frightened for her entire life because this guy's going around just nonchalant, just fucking just blasting whoever the fuck he wants. And these 911 calls are so scary, dude.
Oh, hiding. Yeah, and that lady that hides under the desk, that one was frightening to hear. I mean, you can hear it in her voice. I mean, who wouldn't be? You're hearing all this gunfire because they thought there were multiple shooters.
Multiple shooters.
So that's even scarier.
Yeah, and they said, like, the reports sound the same, so we think it's one shooter. But everybody there getting shot at has no idea. And at the same time, the 911 operators, you can hear in their voices like, oh my God, how the fuck do I help this person over the phone? Like, I'm doing everything. And you got to give a shout out to 911 operators.
Oh, dude.
Because they're
They really,
so, I'm sure their mentality,
yeah,
what they go through with these calls sometimes is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they're delivering kids. They're, you know, talking somebody through a horrible situation while they wait for the, you know, the police or the ambulance to show up. So, yeah, it's fucked up. But, yeah, these calls were nuts. He goes into the building, but I'm not sure why security just didn't lock the doors or keep him out of there. But he starts opening fire in the lobby. It appears that he's just randomly shooting people. Doesn't appear to have like gone after certain people. He goes back to the parking lot. Yeah, he goes, you know, because he got fired from there, but he didn't like go after, like, I don't believe the person, you know, that actually fired him. He just showed up and he was there to just open fire on whoever. In the picture I saw in the documentary, it looks like it was an AR-15, but then you hear one of the callers said it was an AR-15, and then one of the police reports I read said he had two AR-15s. So I'm curious how the fuck he got those weapons, unless he did it illegally, which is totally possible. I don't know if you heard anything, Chris, about that.
No, I didn't see that, but see, if he did get him illegally, that's why I'm not trying to get into political shit, but that's why gun control don't work.
Right.
You can still get guns on the black market no matter what.
Yeah, I think you and I definitely agree politically on this subject, and I agree with you. I don't want to get into that debate here either, but you're exactly right. I mean, unfortunately, criminals don't follow the laws. That's why they're criminals.
That's why they're fucking criminals.
And this fucking guy's possibly, that's how he got the weapons, because I did see it is still under investigation. And so, you know, who knows how he got them, but nonetheless, he got them and he was on the list not to get them. So something failed. So there's multiple calls, as we've been saying, to 911. They're thinking multiple shooters. With all those echoes in a big building like that, or out in the parking lot, wide open parking lot, you could definitely see where it would sound like possibly echoes and
fucking gunfire.
Yeah. You know, so like you said, the report of the weapon sounded the same, so couldn't tell if it was one or more of the, you know, the same weapon. I've never personally been in war or in a gunfight. So I can't really speak to the, any kind of experience there, but I can only imagine it's got to be sheer terror and a lot of confusion, especially when you're not armed. I mean, if you're in a war situation, at least you got a weapon.
Right, you got a weapon. You're expecting
fire. That's what you're there for. But this is like you show up to go smoke a hitter out in your car, and some fucking nut shows up with a My Little Pony onesie on, shooting the fucking place up. I mean, it's just fucking crazy, you know. So that's just off the charts fucked up. And Chris, the cops, though, they get there pretty quick.
They got there very, very fast. Honestly, I think it was like within like 5 minutes after the first 911 call. It was like very fast.
Yeah.
But they want to neutralize this motherfucking shooter.
Right.
And they didn't know. But Brandon, he's like, all right, cool. I'm done killing.
Right.
So he goes back to his car and he kills himself.
Right.
He doesn't even, he's not even doing suicide by
cop. He goes in the building and does it.
Oh, I thought it, oh, yeah, you're right.
So yeah, because they had to find him. So yeah, it went back inside.
But when the cops got there, they didn't realize that he had already killed himself. So they're like looking for an active shooter.
Right. And as we know from doing that Columbine episode, they do this a lot differently now than they did at that time, right?
Yes. Because, like, at that time, they just kind of, well, see, here's the weird thing. There was that one school shooting that just happened not long ago where the cops just stood outside.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
And it's fucking weird. Like, I know you don't want to die either, but this is your job. This is what you signed up to do.
Right.
Go in and take care of the fucking problem.
Yeah.
This guy's out here killing innocent people.
Yeah.
You signed up to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was terrible. They were in the hallway waiting outside the room. I mean, I definitely would like to do that episode at some point because I think it would be an interesting one. When it's all said and done, I don't know if they've, you know, finished doing whatever they're doing about that. But Columbine, they kind of hung back and waited because they didn't know how many shooters there were there either. Nowadays, they go in and they get them. They're not waiting around.
Yeah, you just go in. Right. Like, that's your job. Go in, get them. You signed up basically to die for this situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you're going in a fucking an active shooter situation like that, it's basically like being in the military. You're signing up to go in and fucking go after the enemy.
Right.
And that's the enemy.
You're exactly right, dude. So there's 8 victims that he shot. And then himself, which makes 9. The ages of the victims ranged in 19, so he was the youngest victim, to 74. And these were men, women, you know, different nationalities. I mean, it's very random. It could have been so much worse with 100 people there, especially with 2 AR-15s and a bunch of ammo. It's still a horrible event, obviously, but it could have been so much worse. And those 911 callers, you know, they didn't know Brandon was dead. So there's got to be still a lot of terror until you see those police officers,
right,
you know, and know that, thank gosh, you know, I'm saved. You know, happy to see a cop in that situation.
Oh no. The 911 call is like, I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's a police officer. And then she's like, okay, it's a police officer. We're fine. Like the 911 calls on this are, like you said, I like listening to 911 calls.
Yeah.
Some of them are funny. When motherfuckers call 911 because their cheeseburger was wrong, that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
But there's other 911 calls that I've listened to where the dispatcher is a terrible person. This woman, one of the 911 calls I listened to, this woman was in a flash flood in her vehicle on 911 trying to get help. And the dispatcher's like, well, nobody put you in this situation except yourself. This woman ended up drowning and dying in her car because the dispatcher was slacking. That's like, nobody put you in that situation. You did.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, you get one bad one like that, but by and large, they're fucking unbelievable people and do a great job. And same here, I wanted to mention with the police officers, because those guys get a really bad rap because there's some bad ones out there. But for fuck's sake, I mean, these guys, they were there to do fucking business. And Brandon did it himself. He did it himself because they eventually find him in there and they know he's gone or he's dead. And so just unbelievable, really, across the board with everybody involved on the response to this. Obviously, you know, you got 100 police officers showed up to the scene, multiple ambulances, obviously sheer chaos, and you got wall-to-wall news coverage of it. You know, this is always like this,
which is another reason why it's crazy. Until you brought it up, I never heard it because it was huge in the news and
oh yeah,
like you said, close to us. I never knew anything about
it. I know it is. It's crazy because we're like 3 hours from Indianapolis from where we are. Now I saw that the facility, Chris, though, didn't allow cell phones in the building, and I've personally had to teach classes in factories where they don't allow you to use the phone in the factory, but you can have it on you and use it on breaks and stuff like that. But would catch some shit for them doing that.
So like where I work, we are allowed to have our phones on us. We can have one headphone in and listen for music, whatever. And it's a factory situation.
Right.
But they were not allowed to have their phones on them at all.
Right.
So like when you're in an active situation like that, and there's no possible way to contact first responders, family members, anything like that, it really fucks shit up. So after this incident, they went back and looked at it. It was like, oh wait, maybe these people need to have a fucking way in case this happens again.
Right.
A way to contact people. And I don't know what their policy, it's FedEx. It's a huge fucking corporation, dude.
Right. Right.
But they need to be able to contact, like, even those fucking big blue lights out of the fucking college campuses, like smack something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, for sure. But, for sure.
But I don't think that not having to have your, not being allowed to have your cell phone on you is a good policy, not just for situations like this, but for family situations.
Right.
Like, say, hey, yo,
family wife, emergency. Yeah.
Your wife, your brother, whatever, just fucking got into a huge accident or something.
Right.
You need to fucking know and not have to wait until you go on break and be like, oh, wait, I need, like, you need to fucking know instantly. And that's the way society is. Everything right. in society now is instant, just like the news. This story, hence, meanwhile, I didn't know about this, but everything is instant now.
Right.
So, like, in your life with your family, your friends, and everything going on in your life is instant. And so, like, it should be allowed.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think with this story, Chris, maybe the reason why we didn't hear it is, unfortunately, here in the United States, there are quite a bit, especially the last few years of these shootings. And I mean, it just starts to turn into static in the background, like white noise, you know, to me at least. Right. And I'm definitely not as in tune. I'm not as in tune to the news like I used to be. I used to follow that stuff pretty radically and no more. I'm just done with it, you know, messing with my life right. because it just doesn't end in anything other than, you know, losing friends and shit like that over political stuff is just, it's fucking just dumb. Yeah, so.
And it sucks that politics dictates people's friendships.
Yeah, so or TV. Like, that's why I don't watch professional sports anymore, because I'm just so sick of that being brought up in every facet of our lives. It's just ridiculous. So whenever these mass shootings happen, that starts kind of that cavalcade of all the negative gun stuff like we didn't want to get into. But I'm just saying, you know, these are the events that prompt the other side to say, look, you know, like, this is, you know, we need to control them. And then that debate, you know, just continues. It'll never fucking be
never,
you
know,
off
stop.
The table. So just unbelievable with this one, with the phone angle, though. I thought it was interesting. Once police, though, found his body, they knew this situation was over. And his last Facebook post.
Oh, my God, dude.
Chris, do you want to read this? The last Facebook post he had. Which is, in essence, his suicide note. It's very short.
His last Facebook post was, I hope I can be with Applejack. That's a My Little Pony name.
Right.
I hope I can be with Applejack in the afterlife. My life has no meaning without her. If she isn't real, then my life never mattered anyway. And this dude's life was just controlled by a fucking My Little Pony character, a cartoon pony character.
Yeah.
That shows you the mentality
right.
that he had.
Yeah.
And he just be running, like you said, his fucking bedroom.
Coming from the guy wearing
hey, man.
When I take a look away from the video and I'm on the notes and then I come back, it's like hard to take you seriously. Sleep with your nipples hanging out of a My Little Pony onesie.
Dude,
so
dude, I couldn't help it. It was too easy.
Anyone listening to this, we'll have the pictures. We got pictures. So yeah, I mean, just an insane fucking final post. And like, if you watch the video, you go on YouTube and type this dude's name and you'll find it. And they show a plush pillow of Applejack on his bed, and
like a big one, like a body pillow, basically. Right.
So, Chris, I mean, that's just about as fucked up as it gets. But I wonder, does your brother Michael have anything for My Little Pony? Any of you heard?
Not since he was six.
Oh, okay.
Love you, Michael.
So yeah, I mean, this is a sad story about a guy who needed some serious mental health or mental help. He was trying to get his life back on track. There's that one video, Chris, when they talk about, or he's on a recorded line where he talks about wanting to get his GED, wants to just kind of be normal. But, you know, he was very fragile, and I don't think he was able to deal with, you know, being on a job. He was working there at FedEx. Then he starts not showing up, and he ends up getting fired right. over it. So he's obviously not mature enough.
When you're that young and your dad commits suicide and you know about it, your brain's not gonna work the way it should be, because that's always gonna be in your thoughts. Like, oh shit, why did dad kill himself?
Right.
Maybe I should do something. Like, I don't know. I couldn't even imagine growing up that way, knowing that your dad killed himself.
Right.
After your mom said, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that you were involved in it, because that was the argument, is if she was going to keep him and leave, then he was going to kill himself. And then that's what right. happened. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely was a major fucking break in the foundation there. And you know, just things happened. And so like the perfect storm with these cases. But he's obviously not able to deal with adult things, coworkers, stresses of life. He was living on his own. He winds up having to move back in with his mom, because he's now out of work. So this is just a fucked up story from start to finish. The FBI concluded that it was, quote, an act of suicidal murder, saying that he planned to end his life at the conclusion, you know, which, as we know,
right. Yeah, you can't fucking go out without taking others out.
Yeah. Most mass shootings are that way. We talked with Catherine Ramsland about that. I know last time we had her on for Spree Killers, where she talked about most of these are death by cop. You know, they're going in knowing that at the end of this shooting spree, whether it be a crowd or a stark weather with the people over multiple sites, but they know that the end game is they're going to die. If the cops won't get it done, they'll do it themselves.
Right. They know they're going to die at the end of the fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, done.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fucked up. His own mother, Brandon's mother, would say when she cries, she grieves for the victims more than she does for him. So
that, which, good on her, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Like really good on her. Like,
yeah, she seemed like she tried to help him.
She really did. Other than telling his dad to kill himself.
Yeah, that wasn't a good move. But people say things in arguments they don't mean.
Exactly.
And it doesn't end up like this. You know what I mean? This is just a very unfortunate.
It doesn't turn out that way. This just happened to be, I feel like his dad had his own mental issues.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, all right, well, fuck it.
Right.
I don't care anymore.
Exactly. So the policy at FedEx with not allowing the phones was certainly criticized. I don't know if anything changed with that or not. There was a lawsuit filed by the families of the victims against the American Tactical Company, who's the one that made the high-capacity magazines.
Of course, blame it on the weapon.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that just seems silly to me also. We've seen stuff like that before. I mean, Chris, what was the worst violence in a school in the history of the United States that was not had anything to do with a gun?
You're not talking about Bath at all, are you?
I am talking about Bath, Michigan. We did an episode on that, and that was a guy that blew the fucking school up with dynamite. So there have been some fucked up people that have done some awful fucking things, whether it be at a school or a church or some public place. It's fucked up and it's not right. But I don't think blaming the gun or the high capacity magazine is where the argument is.
When a cop shoots a person, they blame the cop. They don't blame the gun. But when a person kills a person, they blame the gun. It's fucked up.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So we see stuff like this all the time. I don't believe any settlement, though, is reached here with this one yet. It's still, you know, only a couple years old. And lawsuits, you know, drag out for a long time. So, Chris, anything to add to the Brony episode? Anything at all, being that you're in the Brony outfit there?
See my nips, Pete? See my nips?
Yeah, I'm gonna have nightmares about it now tonight.
But no, I ain't got nothing. I mean, for the limited amount of fucking stuff there is on this dude, I think we did pretty fucking all right.
I think so too. I didn't have a chance to check and see if there were other podcasts about him or not. I'm sure there's probably some, but I didn't look. So
we're going to be the first, Pete. We're the first.
That's right. So we hope you guys like this bonus episode. This is a very recent case, and there is plenty of stuff out there on this if you want to read more about it. Or if you're an adult male and you now suddenly wish that your little sister didn't toss all that My Little Pony stuff, then go on eBay and buy some shit. Make yourself feel better. But grab an Applejack pillow while you're there, though.
It's like Beanie Babies.
Yeah, for sure. So the Murder Metal Mayhem intro music, Chris, is by which band?
Always motherfucking Low 12, brother. What up?
Hell yeah. And thank you to everybody out there listening. We keep seeing the numbers coming in. Y'all. We really appreciate it. Chris, we got our website there that people need to check out.
Yeah, you need to go check out fucking murdermetalmayhem.com. The website, go check it out. We got the goddamn web store. You can get our zombie t-shirts, the original artwork by fucking goddamn, oh, my brain just
Jeff went. Gaither.
Jeff Gaither, goddamn, weird. We got some die cut stickers with the logo. You get 25% off if you join the club. So you ain't got to, dude, just go check us out. We're idiots.
MurderMetalMayhem.com. So go check that out. We're also, we got a Facebook group and our Horns High Studios page on there. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've got a 666 club. That's our Patreon, $3 a month. You could do that from the website and save. So I'll link to this in the episode description. And until next time, we'll see you guys around. And fucking horns high,
motherfuckers.
Mother, man.